Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, January 17th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, I am C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we have our Man Down Mashup Wednesday. Man Down Mashup Wednesday is when we blend, when we mash together two shows. We mash together On the Clock with Aaron Green with Guardian Radio AM, and where we analyze the news and basically talk about what is trending. Today, what is trending is crime. A sense of hopelessness has settled in on Bahamians. They're frustrated. They're frustrated to the point where they say, man, this crime is a part of us. It was so overbearing that the Prime Minister thought that he needed to address the nation because there was a spike in crime recently. Apparently, 10 people died, was murdered, massacred on the streets in the last 12 days. I think it's now about 12 people. How much people is now?
I think we're at 12.
Yes. Apparently, that's the highest amount of murder we've had in the last 10 years. So it became an alarm. And of course, that forced the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas to speak, to address the nation and to lay out plans as to what the government plans to do. A number of people say, man, we want the death penalty, right? And we were waiting for our government to do something. Let's get rid of these people who are perpetrating this crime against society, against us, right? And we are waiting on what is the tarry? What is the wait? Is it the Privy Council that is causing us to not carry the death penalty? Is it the religious zealot, the priest, the pastor, them who is stopping us from having the death penalty? Or is it the laws that we have on the books currently that is stopping the death penalty? What can we do to punish, to thwart these people who believe that they can hurt, maim, murder Bahamian citizens? We concluded that if we get rid of them altogether, that'll be the solution. That will drive fear in these hardened criminal hearts. But that's our conversation to be today. This death penalty, what's causing this tarry? What's causing this delay? Is it something that we should consider? Would it solve our problems? Just get rid of them, right? Why this sense of hopelessness has settled in with us where we say, man, people dead all the time, man. That's just another one dead. I'm used to murder. I'm used to murder. I don't feel it anymore. I don't get emotionally involved when they announce, when Ms. Skippins come on and say, it was known to the police. Yeah, they're wearing that ankle bracelet. One more person gone. Erin Green is joining me, of course, and she has a number of articles that we plan to put on record, what we plan to use as our guideline to have this discussion. You feel free to call in and say, man, I support murder. I'm not support murder. Lord have mercy. I support the death penalty.
That's one perspective. You may not say it, but somebody will call in and say that's what you mean.
When I was a teenage boy and the priest them asked me, do I support death penalty? Right? Mm-hmm. I remember grabbing that Bible and the Bible said, thou shalt not kill, full stop. And I said, no, hold on, where the comma? Because it got to be a reason why thou shalt not kill. And accept. And I read it again. Thou shall not kill. Full stop. So that's why I, C.A. Nuri, do not support the death penalty. Because I got a commandment for thou shall not kill. Mm-hmm. Now mind you, Abraham have all kind of things afterwards when people start killing. Right? Because people kill, you got to get punished. But I remember what God tell me. And I believe in a judgment. I believe in the judgment of the man who's wearing the mask and pull that lever, that when he is being judged and the question will be, did you kill somebody? He ain't say, well, I killed somebody because. It's just yes or no. And I don't want to have that judgment. Mm-hmm. But go ahead, Aaron. Let's have this discussion.
You asking me the same question?
Oh, yeah. Do you believe in the death penalty?
Like, do I believe in it?
Like, you support it if they bring it? Can you go and pull that lever? Or you want somebody else to pull that lever?
Well, one, I can't pull the lever. Why can't you pull the lever? Say that anybody else should be made to pull the lever. I consider that there is a place for the death penalty. My insertion into this conversation is I do not think that my government has displayed or manifested the capacity to execute people. I don't think that our systems are sufficiently shored up, that our systems operate with the integrity necessary to be able to say that we have determined that this person's life should be taken from them. Mm. I can imagine there are instances where a death penalty would be warranted, but I cannot imagine a government on this planet, any government, not just mine, a government on this planet that has what we call the moral authority to execute people.
Mm.
Yeah, that's my position on it. So the questions are you for or against the death penalty? If you are pro-death penalty, why? What crimes you think warrant a death penalty? What form should we use? Are there any exemptions? Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Yeah, good morning.
Listen, I was thinking about something. I'm trying to wonder, do you think the police lock up criminals too fast? And that's why they sit in prison for so long, to the point where they have to be let out on bail and then bail on bail. You think they lock in haste instead of wait to collect evidence from the crime scene and then come back and lock the person up? Do you think that could be one of the problems?
No. The Bahamas has one of the best detection rates in this hemisphere, beating all the United States out, whatever it is. We have great police professionals. They are good at what they do. Now, mind you, sometimes getting to the information, they may have to, that is me, circumspect or circumvent one or two things. But the idea is they know who the criminals are. They know the person guilty. Now, to prove that on paper tends to be a challenge, especially when we have brilliant lawyers, some of the best lawyers who turn Minister of Nationals. Oh, sorry, forgive me. We have some of the best lawyers in the Bahamas, right? Who, we can remember these police officers tend not to have no high degree. They're just good at what they do. So when you go in front of a judge and these professional lawyers be able to twist and turn and whatever it is what it is at the end.
I think a part of the answer is knowing the right answer is not sufficient. Being able to prove that you have the right answer in a court of law is a totally different kettle of fish.
Because I have seen persons being railroaded, for lack of a better word, by these same professional police. They locked them up for the crime when the crime was committed by somebody completely different. And at the end of it, you know, when they done had this person sitting in jail, person come out on bail, the person got killed because bail persons usually be a target for whatever the reason were. And just to find out that it was somebody else that actually committed the crime.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like in some cases, they are in too much of a haste to arrest versus trying to collect evidence and then let the evidence point them in the direction of the arrest.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you very much, caller.
Oh, and one more thing. I'd like to send out a happy birthday to Andrew Jefferson Moxie. Makes him the big 5-0 today.
Happy birthday, Andrew.
Happy birthday, Mr. Andrew Jefferson Moxie. Don't forget where to send the cake. Mr. Neary.
Hey. You going to read and put things on the record, or are you going to go to the next caller first?
Let's go to the next caller.
Okay, producer Patrick.
And then we'll get to a couple of the articles, recent articles about the death penalty.
So you don't support the death penalty then?
What I said was that I cannot...
pull the lever.
Personally, I could tell you right now, I can't pull the lever. But I also don't think that our government or any government in on the planet has the moral authority to execute people.
Well, they send young men to war, so clearly they have the moral authority.
They don't have the moral authority to do that either. Good morning, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
Morning, Mr. Nuri.
Hey, morning.
This is a very interesting topic, and so, you know, this highlights a problem in a small country like ours where we see a multiplicity of inequalities as far as the justice. So law enforcement still entails justice and human rights.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand the police being frustrated with these mindless youths running around doing what they're doing. Trust me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we see partiality even in the statement the Prime Minister made when he said seizing the assets of gangsters, which, you know, I guess it should happen, but it should be straight across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Because anyone could be a gangster. A gangster could be a wolf in sheep clothing. So then the question would be for everybody to document their wealth, like how Trinidad passed some disclosure act. I don't know the details of it, but just to really curtail, you can't stop corruption because it starts at the top. And so the top, nobody can reach the top to see what's going on at the top. So it will never stop. But we look at a system where youths go court, they can't afford a lawyer. And so then you don't even have nothing implemented, not even if a youth is well-read, and he could just be guided by some information on the court door provided to him to buffer against the superiority and knowledge with the learned lawyers who he's in there with. So we don't see that inequality. We see inequalities. This is why the death penalty is warranted, right, in some cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm talking about, the inequalities with the encounters with police, and so implementation of measures to safeguard the encounters between the police and the public, that's also justice. And so the lady who called, she seems somewhat knowledgeable about the inequalities that goes on, even with documentation of confessions, seeing some of the information circulating on the internet about these type of things coming from former officers. And there's an article years ago about something in an insight, when killing a man becomes a badge of honor. That was written by a sergeant at the time who's now a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So we also are hearing about the dismantling the blue wall of silence. So it's the same thing with a neighbor seeing a neighbor do something and not saying it. It's the same thing if an officer sees an officer doing something nefarious and he's not saying it. So it creates a problem. And so it's really a farce when you're not tackling these particular model in a holistic way.
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying? So these are just mindless conversations. The guys talk about the justice system. But, you know, it entails the most important thing is the encounters with the police and the public, whether it's be on the streets or in the interview office.
Yes.
And so then when you're talking about the death penalty, maybe the reason Dwight read the stats, all right, the data showed that the third world is responsible for the certain amount of homicides within the world. So it may be in their best interest to let them kill one another and say, what is the worst of the worst? A caller, he always calls. He made a joke. He made me laugh the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what will determine the worst of the worst? You have to kill someone and chop them up and eat them too. But some of the cases warranted the death penalty, like committing an armed robbery and killing someone. And this is just right off the bat. And then you notice in the States, they will determine the difference between a non-violent drug offender versus an offender.
Drug offender.
Check
his
records, et cetera, et cetera. School, you know, it's a number of things you can determine who deserves the death penalty. You just can't. People have been railroaded. And so we had a minister went in the jail for one day and was given a bunch of money. I wouldn't say what it's because it's being withheld.
Thank you.
So 52. People been in jail for years and they come out and they have a problem getting their money. Guys go in jail because they're poor and they're impoverished and they don't have the right. They don't get no money because this life value nothing to them. But he has children to take care of, but he's in jail for something that he was not accused of. But he was held there because of personal vendettas. When I myself have been railroaded through a ID scam, ID parade scam. But this is known. So my encounters give me the audacity to know, ability to say this and know what's going on.
Thank you, 52.
I can't say people haven't been railroaded when it has happened to me myself.
Personally, yes.
And, you know, Spoozy highlight a lot. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Thank you,
52. These conversations are meaningless unless the whole stake, everybody is involved in these conversations and things must be hashed out. Otherwise, it's just manipulation.
Thank you, 52.
Nothing has stopped. It's not going to get any better.
Thank
nothing
you, 52.
Else gets this
done. And 52, I entertain you. I mean, I not entertain you, but because you represent the voices of so many.
Mm-hmm.
That may not call in. Good morning, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, see, we may not believe in something, but does it mean that the does it make it right? See, when man becomes so smarter than God, who gave Paul the inspiration to write Romans 13 and the fourth verse, when we say we don't believe in something, well, we may not believe in it. But when God says something, he stand by what he said.
You mean the Ten Commandments, hey?
Romans 13?
No, I just said the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, what are you talking about?
And the fourth verse.
No, the Ten Commandments, what are you talking about? That only the one.
Yeah, you were saying that you don't believe in capital punishment.
No, I say I support the Ten Commandments.
Okay. But if you support the whole Ten Commandments,
yes,
that inside it also.
You're saying that the Ten Commandments says what?
Well, you say you support the Ten Commandments, thou should not kill.
Full stop.
Okay, but we see Paul come back now.
No, I don't want to talk with Paul. I don't want to talk with Paul. I don't talk with Paul. I got Old Testament. Stick to the Ten Commandments.
But we have to talk about
Paul. No, I don't have to do anything.
Well, that means we might as well tear out.
There you go.
Don't even read it.
Now you know. Now we move to that and conclude it. Stick to Ten Commandments. That's all.
Okay.
I mean, perhaps what Mr. Newry is saying, why go to Paul when you have the words of God?
Or unless God is secondary.
No.
Man, you're confusing me.
Paul didn't just write that off his own, you know.
So you keep on saying. But I agree with the Ten Commandments.
The same person would write, thou should not kill. It's the same spirit that spoke to Paul to write the same thing in Romans 13.
So you keep on saying. But I know for a fact, one person read the Ten Commandments. That's God. I ain't talking about anyone who gets called to say they get inspired. I ain't dealing with them people. Ten Commandments, thou should not kill. Full stop.
Okay, bro.
Amen.
I want to say that that's just one perspective, a fundamentalist Christian perspective, which is wild to me because that's not what Christ taught. I'm flabbergasted at the contributions from religious leaders. Are you Christian? Are you a Hebrew? Are you Old Testament? Are you a Jew? What are you following? Good morning, caller.
Good morning again.
Yes, ma'am.
I was listening to Mr. Newry just now. I want to ask him a question. Mr. Newry said the Ten Commandments is which you go by.
Yes.
And you believe all of the Ten Commandments. Which denomination are you, sir? Me? If
but,
you don't mind.
No, I could go only cause controversy on the
radio.
Pardon me? Only cause controversy on the radio. So I refuse to answer that.
Okay, all right. Because I was just curious, you know.
I know.
Because if you say the whole Ten Commandments, then you know what, I guess you knew where I was going.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, well, I never did give my view. I believe in, like the Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God.
I know Caesar supported slavery, and I ain't supporting that. No, see, I can't be listening to.
No, you have to be before you could be a master. And that's what it also says.
Yeah, but see, right?
That scripture came straight from the slave version of the Bible, the slave Bible. That version, that's where that came from.
I can't be supporting that.
Did you, before you could be a master, you have to be a slave?
Something wrong.
Servant.
Slave.
Okay, yeah. But like I say, I kind of support it because you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Okay, great. So let me ask you a question. Should there be a requirement that the only people who could make the decision to execute and the only people who can actually operate, like actually perform the execution, they have to be guilty of no sin, nothing.
I was about to say,
no stop sign, no nothing. Don't be around here.
Sorry, in that case, we cannot execute anyone.
Okay, thank you, caller. Thank you, caller. Let's go to the next caller. Producer, pick one from which one was first. Good morning, caller.
A pleasant good morning, Mr. Newry and Mrs. Dean and Mrs. Green.
Make sure when you marry me off, that Dean is a rich. Morning, Sparky.
Boy, always think about money. But money is the love of money is the root of all evil, you know?
No, the love of money is what caused me not be miserable all the time. It's good thing for the man.
I could try and fit it in my 30 seconds.
Yes, sir.
Right now, I'm sitting on my front porch. It's starting to drizzle rain. It's overcast. I'm on the front porch. If you give me a minute, inside the kitchen, I'm doing a nice peak pizza with penny onions. Potatoes, goat pepper, cayenne pepper, the spices and all that, the what you call it, the The other thing you put in the sprinkle, that thing, man. Oh, the thing they say you put in your food, you eat it anyway. And sitting on the porch, starting to rain, like I say, looking at 15, but I'm coconut trees that two different people delivered to my home to go down to Onrigo Farm.
Sparky.
Look, hold on.
You talking about the death penalty, Sparky?
Yeah, we talk about that. I got that.
Go straight to the death penalty. Just skip all that. Skip all that. Pause that.
That's why it's called your gizmo.
Yeah, but
anyway.
Just skip all that. Go ahead.
Anyway, you know something, Ms. Green? When we talk about this laziness that you started with the other show,
mm-hmm.
we got to start talking truth and stop trying to make each other look better than other people. Our country is in a very bad state to me, as the way I remember growing up in my beautiful country, being a very bad state. This thing about turning it off, the religious leaders, the prime minister do this, the mission police do this, we need to get to the truth. See, there's some things going on around here. We talk about the parents, and we talk about this and that and that. I know for a fact, when it comes to our government people, that we pay a lot of money for them to have jobs. There are things going on in government jobs that a lot of people around here know. We talk about the workers are slack, the workers are lazy. Let me tell you something, Ms. Green. It even goes down to supervisors, where I can tell you, and I know for a fact, supervisors go out with their workers, and they park cars behind buildings in different areas, and they'd be inside pool halls, bars, drinking with their staff during the day. And people in these places see the supervisor with the workers shooting pool, drinking rum, when they're supposed to be on our job because we're paying them.
Yes, Sparky.
But they hide the cars behind them. See, a lot of these government workers, they learned a lot of their bad habits from their supervisors, and their supervisors learned it before the supervisors before them, mm-hmm. and this has been going on for years.
Yep.
You could go, you can't call the name of these places, but I know I could pick up you and Mr. Nui right now and take you someplace right now where the cars are parked behind the building and the people inside drinking rum. The workers that we pay every day to be on the job, to fix the telephones, to fix the electricity wires and everything, they're in the bar shooting pool and drinking till they can get it right now.
Thank you, Sparky.
Talk the truth.
Thank you, Sparky. I mean, I hope that that's a part of what I'm conveying when I say it's unfair of us to just lump all of the blame on young people. Young people learn from their environment, and who is in their environment other than other young people? Old people. They're learning it from somewhere, and it's probably us.
See, Aaron, this text now says, Aaron, the judiciary is our problem. If an individual is charged before the magistrate court and bail is denied and an application is made to the Supreme Court for bail and it is granted, I feel that the case should not be returned to the magistrate court but heard at the court where the bail was granted.
Well, I can't imagine that it wouldn't be, because only the court that's hearing the case could grant the bail. So you're saying when we read the story and the story says the magistrate couldn't grant bail, it was taken up to the Supreme Court, that's only for the purpose of bail?
Mm.
And then the matter gets sent back down to the magistrate's court?
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to expand the Supreme Court and remove some of the purview of the magistrate's court. The magistrate's court shouldn't be handling hit and runs. There's another text there, Mr. Newry. I think the text has said, you talk in 5 years, how about people get fined $2,000 for killing a pedestrian there's a proper term, but in the process of driving. I've heard of a person who got fined $400.
Vehicle manslaughter?
Vehicular manslaughter, knocking down a little Haitian boy on the side of the road. Let's go back to the articles, unless you want to read some more text. But let's go to this article. I do not support capital punishment. One day after former cabinet minister Leslie Miller said legislators lack the guts to ensure capital punishment is executed, a prominent pastor took a firm position against the death penalty during a sermon. As lawyers, judges, and government officials gathered at Christ Church Cathedral to mark the opening of the legal year. I do not support capital punishment, as in my view, it is contrary to New Testament teachings, said Reverend Harry Bain. Stick a pin. When did the judiciary start doing their service in the Anglican Church? I thought the judicial community did their service in the Catholic Church. I thought there's a particular reason for that. I was stunned to see that they were at Christ Church Cathedral. Another article, United in Prayer, but Christian Leaders Divided on Death Penalty. Great Commission Ministries President Bishop Walter Hanschild said yesterday that opposing the death penalty is against the will of God.
Opposing the death penalty is against the will of God.
Is Bishop Walter Hanschild a Christian bishop?
Different type of Christian bishop.
Or is he a Judaic bishop? Is he Old Testament or is he New Testament? A lot of these guys are speaking contrary to the word of Christ.
You know, according to Bohemian history, they have this called Poor Black Dick in San Salvador.
Yeah.
His slave master whipped his wife.
Yeah.
And Dick got the gun and shot a bullet in the air.
Yeah.
The death penalty was warranted. Of course, he killed him. They kill him, right? So when you say render unto Caesar, right?
Render Caesar.
Here's a Caesar. I can't support the killing over. No,
let's
man.
Go to the phone line. No, good morning, man. Caller.
Go ahead, caller. Can we hear you? Call again once. Call again twice. Let's go to the second one.
Hello.
Hey, hey, there you
morning.
Go.
Yeah, I want you to get someone to call in and clarify the bail application process, because I know for murder, people will go to Supreme Court, et cetera, and I guess for big drug busses. But what I'm saying is, remember, they are taking away the discretion of the magistrate, right, Mr. Nuri?
Yes, and give it back to them eventually.
The grand bail. So, final, like what that entails, because, I mean, I thought small amount. I see the magistrate, they may be granting bail now, but if it is that way and is that so, that's part of the backlog and part of the problem. The bails have to go to Supreme Court. It costs more money. It's more costly, and then so it creates a backlog.
Hold on.
It's just a problem. Just get someone to clarify it, please.
Okay, hold on. Because it costs more money to... an interesting system. Good morning. Caller, why did you hang up? We were coming to you just now. Please call back. So Bishop Walter Hanschild said yesterday that opposing the death penalty is against the will of God, while retired Mount Tabor senior pastor Bishop Neil Ellis said if the government won't enforce death penalty laws, it should remove them from the books. Let's go to this caller.
I like that better argument.
Yeah.
But not saying that it's the will of God.
I think we come into this
the will of God is
caller right
that's a,
now.
That's a bleeding, harsh statement. God wants us to kill him. God wants us.
He don't want you to stop it. That red light, but he sure wants you to kill them.
You know,
they
bulldozed the shanty town and no church went there to help the people them finding houses. But God wants you to kill. See, God, they all have our Lord just as that's like
a
common.
Poppy show.
Yeah, man.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Am I on?
Yes, you are, sir.
Okay, I want every single person who premeditatively kills another person.
Mm-hmm.
I want everyone who does that to be executed by the state.
Okay.
That's what I want.
Okay. Premeditated.
Yes.
Now
we have allowed the Privy Council to prevent the execution of murderers in the Bahamas. But first of all, I think one of the biggest crimes that was ever committed against the Bahamian people is when a government is going to tell us that we are an independent country, but our final and highest court is in a foreign land headed by strangers, and not one Bahamian sits on that court. I think that was a crime against the Bahamian people. I think we should have done what Trinidad and I think several other countries did. On their Independence Day, they got rid of the Privy Council. That's what I think we should have done in 1973.
You think we should...
And the biggest and the bigger problem than that to me is that 50 years later, we have seen no need to change that.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think we should apply the CCJ as our final court of appeal?
Not at all. Not at all. My view is that if you are an independent country, justice should begin and end in your country.
So what are the rules, what rules would you establish to maintain the independence of the final court of appeal in the Bahamas?
Especially in a country where we all are related and know each other.
The final court of appeal will be the Bahamas Court of Appeal.
You don't think we need That's one it. Above that?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
Not at all.
Cool, just asking. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Absolutely. You're welcome very much.
Remember recently the Privy Council ruled or suggested, how come we couldn't see the obvious?
regarding, I see you call, like I'm coming right to you, regarding the citizenship right, saying that if you were born here, mm-hmm. or you're born to a Bahamian man, clearly you have a title. And they say, how come y'all couldn't see this? Why is this such a debate? I'm concerned, right? I heard a gentleman saying that we need to have the final court here. But because of our conservative views and lack of exposure, I find that there are certain things we just don't have the experience to rule over.
From Sylvanus Petty got up in the court and said, I thought all us is family. I thought that's how we do things. That was a wild paraphrasing. That was a wild paraphrasing and interpretation of what he said. Mm-hmm. But after hearing what he actually said, I question whether we can maintain the integrity of a final court of appeal given the existing cultures.
Let's go to this caller. I see what caller, you're next. This text says, good morning, Aaron and Cecil. The Bahamas is not a theocracy. Religion should not be the judge for capital punishment, but the state should, even though they have you swear on a Bible.
Well, you could swear on other things as well.
You can swear on other things? Like yeah, what? Yeah.
On your book of faith or on nothing.
And what if I don't like swearing?
You have to take an oath.
I got it. On my Billy, how did Billy Goat thing go?
Take my oath to the Billy Goat.
Let's go to the caller.
I ain't gonna lie no more. Good morning, caller.
Go ahead, caller.
Good day. This is Doc in the voice along with you and Aaron Murray. Because we are a family, it doesn't give one the rights to be killing up each other and nothing happen.
I agree.
If we continue that, one person would be killing everybody and be getting away with it. The thing is, the scripture tells you straight and plain, God gives the prerogative to those that's an authority over us to do justice. And the Bible tells you to do justice. Now, the thing is, we, or those that are in authority, should know or need to know what justice really is. Because let me show you something. If you want to kill up all your family and think you're going to get away with it, that's a no-no. Or think you should get away with it, that's a no-no. Thank you.
Absolutely, Brayman. Thank you very much. Let's go to this next caller, producer. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron and CA. How are you all doing this morning?
Bless good, good.
So I just want to make two comments to this and one question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand we're having this interesting discussion about whether or not we should, whatever, the death penalty and X, what. And you know what? The truth of the matter is we could continue asking these questions to eternity. But here's the fact.
Mm-hmm.
I could have an opinion whether or not we should be taxed as citizens. I can have an opinion on whether or not we should send our children to school or we should pay whatever it is we do as citizens of a country. The reality of the situation is lawmakers have made law for the betterment of the society and for us to follow. And we follow the law. The law on the land has penalties for everything, including capital penalties for murder. Mm-hmm. It is not even a discussion whether or not we believe in it or not. Laws are established, and we give the persons who made the laws the power to make the laws. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe also that if we have come to a place where we as a society do not want that to be the penalty, then we simply have to do the right thing and ask our leaders to remove that. But until such time, I, CA, you also, Aaron, all of us simply have a responsibility as good citizens to do is follow the law. And when someone breaks the law, we all expect there to be a natural flowing of the penalties under the law. If society no longer is expecting that to happen, there's a breakdown in the whole structure of what governance is as a country. That's my opinion on that, Father. Finally, I believe we also have to come to a place where we have to determine if we are going to be a state-run country or a church run country.
Mm-hmm.
While we respect the fact that this country has an abiding respect for Christian principles, We have gotten to a place where we elected men and women who are legislators with that abiding respect, not that they should be either faith or any faith. So I think we're getting to a place where we need to stop confusing who we are, what we're about, or we're going to have a place where we can't make any laws and we should just follow whatever opinions that may come to the fore. And that's not, I think, the place that we want to be as a society.
Absolutely. I appreciate
we need to make some decision.
Thank you very much.
I can follow that. Thanks very much, Carla. Right. I can follow that with this text, right? Mm-hmm. Good morning, Garden Radio talk show host. The aspects of capital punishment should be consulted spiritually and all regulations and commands stated by Jehovah God Almighty should be adhered to or follow. Jehovah God speaks under all conditions. Greetings from the mayor of Grand Bahama. Happy, joyous New Year 2024.
Absolutely. So let me read a bit about the death penalty and the jurisprudence around death penalty in the Bahamas. So I'm going to read from a joint stakeholder report for the United Nations Universal Periodic Review for the Bahamas' review period. This was submitted by the Advocates for Human Rights, a non-governmental organization in special consultative status, the Greater Caribbean for Life, and the World Coalition Against the Death Penalty for the 29th session of the Working Group on the Universal Periodic Review. Section 6 of their statement, the imposition of the death penalty in the Bahamas is no longer mandatory following the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council's decision in Bowe versus the Queen. Judges can exercise discretion and should sentence only, quote, the worst of the worst and the rarest of the rare to death. The Bahamas prohibits application of the death penalty to juveniles, pregnant women, and any person with an intellectual or psychosocial disability that, quote, substantially impaired his or her mental responsibility for his acts in doing or being a party to the killing. Further, the Privy Council decision in Pratt and Morgan versus Attorney General of Jamaica determined that awaiting implementation of a sentence of execution for 5 years or longer violates the right to humane treatment. The Bahamas commuted the death sentences of several prisoners as a result of this decision and subsequent decisions involving prisoners in the Bahamas. Section 15, despite the country's stated practice of using the death penalty to punish only the, quote, worst of the worst, close quote, crimes, the Bahamas does not follow the requirements dictated in Article 6.2 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights that the death penalty be imposed for only, quote, the most serious crimes, close quotes. Notably, as described in greater detail in paragraph 2, the country allows a death sentence for crimes which simply result in death, regardless of intent. Further, treason, defined as even the act of imagining or intending treason, is eligible for the death penalty.
Was that hard or complicated to understand? Or that's plain?
I can tell you what, for me it's plain to understand. But then I have a familiarity with legalese, with legal language, right? It may be like for a guy like 52, this may be very easy for 52 to understand. But for many people, they may need to hear it multiple times. And for some people, hearing it alone is not enough. They
then you break it down. Let's break it down to listen, audience. The idea is you don't give death penalty for every murder or right. every killing.
And like the caller just prior said, his recommendation would be for premeditated killings only. Right, which speaks to intent.
What about if you're robbing a bank, robbing a jewelry store? Is that premeditated?
Now, do you kill somebody?
Of course, I kill somebody.
You kill somebody in the process.
Back. Yeah,
I'm premeditated because I intended to kill him. He just jumped out at me. He tried to stop me from taking the money.
Right, you may hear some legal language like. Was it reasonable for you to expect that you're trying to commit a robbery?
I just trying to hold him up. That's why I have the gun. Says freeze. If he listened and froze.
You give him the instructions to stay alive.
He had a hearing. I say freeze or you didn't get shoot. I intended to kill him.
Some people may argue that you went there with a weapon to commit a crime.
I went there to rob.
Understanding that it is likely that you may use the gun in the commission of the crime.
For self-defense if he tries to stop me.
Let's go to the caller.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Muri.
Hey.
Turn the radio down, Bremen. Oh, Bremen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nuri.
Hey.
The thing is, stealing is killing.
What?
Stealing, Elias the thief, a thief is a murderer. Now you get out of that. You went there to steal. Mm-hmm. You lied. Because you lied, something was supposed to happen, right, had not happened. So it in turn, somebody died because of it. And that's what the scripture is saying. A thief is a murderer. A lie is a thief, and a thief is a murderer.
Okay.
So that's it right there. You can't get around it.
But, Brayman, you can't. I mean, if you...
Go ahead.
You can't bring that to court and try sentence me to death with that? You can't bring that to court and try sentence me to death?
You can't bring it to court. How? Explain that to me.
You steal that loaf of bread and you say, man, you know you're going to the death penalty.
That's exactly you.
You might not get the death penalty, but you can get a long time because the scripture tells you straight and plain it's wrong do those things.
But didn't you say a thief is a murderer?
Yes. So that's what the Bible says.
So murder will be get the death penalty, so the thief death penalty.
Here's what the problem is. The problem is this.
Where the problem is?
The problem is that we don't take our law from the Christian Bible.
That's the problem.
We don't take it from the Christian Bible.
That's the reason why we don't respect them.
Brayman, the principles that you see reflected in law that you think come directly from the Christian Bible are principles that are reflected in religions and faiths across the planet. These things are not universal to the Christian faith. We are not a theocracy.
I would like my judge to be a Christian. Like I would like my prime minister to be a Christian. I definitely like my pastor to be a Christian.
I mean, are you a Christian?
Why are you always complicating things?
Because I'm just saying, if I could imagine that someone who is a Christian really wants their pastor to be a Christian, I don't have a problem with that.
You don't want the pastor to be a Christian?
But I imagine that somebody who is a Rasta wants their pastor to be a Rasta, and someone who is from the Islamic faith wants their leader to be from the Islamic faith.
That's why we didn't invite them to the national prayer thing.
That's why it wasn't
contrary.
That's why it wasn't a national prayer.
Because it was a national prayer.
Because they contrary.
The prime minister says the national is national.
It's because the prime minister says it's national, it's not national.
Render unto Caesar. As a good Christian prime minister,
that
we
is,
have.
Render unto Caesar. Did Caesar read his own rules?
What?
Caesar's also required to read his own rules. It's about time that they read their own rules and begin to follow them. See, we thought it was only a problem when it came to public disclosures and understanding how much money politicians were able to amass during their time in government and time in opposition and then public servants, right? That's what we thought it was just about. But it's about more than that.
Any event, you can't be inviting Rasta to a Christian prayer out. That just don't make sense.
Right. Because what it was a Christian prayer out.
Yeah, it's a Christian prayer.
It was not a national day of prayer, and there's a clear distinction.
Okay. But I just don't support the death penalty. That's just me.
Here's my thing. What I find ironic, ridiculous, is that those who seek to breach our rights, to curb crime, are actively engaging in forms of psychological violence and state violence. That, which we talked about just now, that's called state violence.
Is state violence bulldozing people's house without finding them some kind of accommodation?
I would also call that state violence.
Is that a crime?
It's not a crime.
Should decent Christian people speak out against that?
Yes, they should.
And if the church ain't speaking out against it, can we kind of say the church is unchristian?
We could say that the church is wanting.
They wanting what?
They're wanting the same treatment that they ask of their members. They must themselves take it upon them.
What would Jesus have done? He would have gone there with a bulldozer, eh?
No, Jesus would have gone there with a taxi, pick them up and take them over one bridge or over one pond to a nice fancy hotel where there's plenty of rooms and said, where my Father has provided rooms, there you shall sleep. Bahamians say everything, God provide everything, right? He would have said, where my Father has provided rooms, there you shall sleep.
Take them to Montego. Apparently they have a lot of space. Ain't full no more.
This has been Guardian.
That's no, called have, spiritual violence.
We have
sir.
7 more minutes. That's spiritual violence?
Yes, sir.
Can I get punished for that, though? I just said I wanted people to have some place to go.
No, without a doubt. A text here. Aaron, I have concerns. One, how in the world can we have confidence in a minister responsible for crime when he has made millions defending alleged criminals? Two, why aren't cars impounded if found to be driven by an unlicensed driver or uninsured driver or a car with no insurance? And three, why are we told to mind our own business when we ask why politicians are not declaring? Law enforcers are too selective about what is enforced. That's our problem. Thank you, Texter. We go into a break?
Yeah, we go into a break. We have almost 6 more minutes to go, man. I gotta say some more mischievous stuff.
No. We're going to read from this article.
Read from the article. This has been Guardian Radio AM. We're coming back. Aaron going to be reading from this article.
We're going to learn more about the jurisprudence around the death penalty.
Yes. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. Dazzy here. Listen, after 50 years of independence, to be a Bahamian in today's world also carries with it the responsibility of global citizenship. Tune in and sit with me. We'll discuss international news, finance, economics, pop culture, and trends that affect us as Bahamians not only locally, but also our contributions and opportunities beyond the rock. Beyond the Rock with your host, Dazzy, begins January 16th, 6:30 to 7:30, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. It's Mashup Wednesday. I'm going to read a text that was sent in, The Truth About Capital Punishment. New Providence has experienced a rise in murders, including the killings of a number of women and children in recent years. This new year, we have seen an unprecedented level of brutal murders on this small island that have left our nation in shock and fear. The lives of women are being snatched away in the Bahamas along with other innocent victims. Vigilante justice is growing in our streets. Murders seem to have reached levels unseen before, and something must be done to end the carnage. The Bible gives clear instructions on how to deal with murderers and reduce violence. It is clear in both the Old and New Testament that convicted murderers should have their lives taken by the state and be permanently removed from society. In recent months, a lot of false information has been told with regards to the biblical position for punishing murderers. Opponents of capital punishment are on the wrong side of this argument. Many of their views are opinions based on political correctness and the culture of European jurisdictions and not biblical teachings. These are basically the same people who support same-sex marriages, abortion rights, and the blessing of same-sex couples, all of which are contrary to the Word of God. These liberal, ungodly views have been the agenda of the United Nations, the European Union, and misguided clergy for decades now, moving our societies further away from sound biblical morality to the disorder, violence, and confusion that we see happening around the globe. Members of Citizens for Justice Bahamas are outraged at the level of murders and violent crime in the Bahamas and are calling for capital punishment to be reinstated in accordance with the Constitution and honest biblical interpretation. Bishop Walter Hanschel, chairman of Citizens for Justice Bahamas, is demanding that laws regarding capital punishment be enforced expeditiously. Legislation must be enacted that will define the worst of the worst and to ensure that Privy Council not be allowed to by law to rule against the administration of capital punishment in the Bahamas. I want to repeat that. Legislation must be enacted that will define the worst of the worst and to ensure that the Privy Council not be allowed by law to rule against the administration of capital punishment in the Bahamas. It is also recommended that the Constitution of the Bahamas be amended to remove the Privy Council as our final court of appeal, making our appellate court our highest legal authority. The Bail Act and many of our antiquated oppressive financial laws should also be amended for the benefit of the Bahamian people. May I pause there? It's a bit long. But I appreciate reading it. Again, if I call your name on the radio, please call in. Let's contribute. Reach out. Let's open up a space so we could continue the conversation in a new dynamic. I want to highlight it again. That group understands that it is up to our Bahamian legislators to legislate what the worst of the worst is, so that if you want to, you can advance the process of capital punishment.
Okay, we have a couple more minutes. I assume you trust the Bahamian legislators.
No, I made my position clear. I don't think that our governments in operation and governments across the world have the capacity to say they have the moral authority to execute people.
Hmm. Interesting. Anyway, that's our last minute.
Jurisprudence across the globe, I think, is falling apart, but it's up to us, the citizens, to demand that we shore it up.
Thou shalt not kill, full stop. This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Neary. Of course, Erin Green was with me, and she believes thou shalt not kill. Full stop. You have a wonderful day.